Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Blue Wallace was a Union general in the Civil War who, in his own description, had no conviction about God or Christ. He decided to write an accurate account of the story of Jesus Christ. He did exhaustive research, including travels to the Holy Land. The result was his conversion to faith and subsequent novel, Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ. In the 1959 film version, Judah Ben-Hur, played by Charlton Heston, has a conversation with his childhood friend and eventual nemesis, Messala. Messala says, "The emperor is particularly fond of Judea." Judah responds, "And Judea is not fond of the emperor." To which Messala replies, "Is there anything so sad as unrequited love?" Unrequited love is one of the most popular themes in literature, film, and song. It is when one person loves another, but that love is not reciprocated. Shakespeare, Dickens, Hemingway all wrote about it. Countless romance novels rely upon it. And it is found on stage and screen in the likes of Casablanca, Dr. Zhivago, and Les Miserables. It's a constant foundation for music, from Robert Johnson's Love in Vain to the Beatles' Yesterday. The product of unrequited love may include disappointment, grief, anger, even withdrawal. Unrequited love also occurs in the Bible. Jacob preferred Rachel over Leah. Samson was tricked by Delilah. Potiphar's wife unsuccessfully tried to seduce Joseph. And then there's this bizarre story about Moses and his wife Zipporah in Exodus chapter 4. You'll just have to look that up someday. But have you ever considered the unrequited love that God himself has to deal with? Yes, I said God has to deal with unrequited love. After all, we are created in his image, so our emotions are a finite expression of his emotions. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We have a high priest who can sympathize with our feelings and has been tempted in the same things we are." That high priest is Jesus. God's reactions to unrequited love can be the same as ours. Scripture tells us God is a jealous God, but his jealousy is not selfish like ours. His love is perfect and his emotions are righteous. The same holds true with his disappointment, grief, anger, even withdrawal. Sometimes the Lord is disappointed. Consider the disappointment Jesus expressed to his followers. On the road to Emmaus, speaking with the two, he says, "You foolish men, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." Right after the Mount of Transfiguration experience, he says, "O faithless and crooked generation, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" Galatians 5:6 says, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything, but faith working through love. If you love God, you will trust him. If you don't, he will be disappointed." After a day of performing miracles, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." After dismissing the crowd, they took him along with them in a boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a fierce gale of wind developed, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling with water. And yet Jesus himself was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They had seen Jesus perform many miracles, including raising the dead, and yet they were afraid and worried about their own safety. No wonder he was disappointed. Jesus entered the village Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, and she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet, and was listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." The good part was relationship with Jesus. Jesus loved Martha, but he was disappointed in her. She was not displaying the love that her sister Mary was. Have you ever felt the Lord say to you, "Martha, Martha"? I know I have. He also shows grief. Ephesians 4 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And it goes on to describe what it is that grieves God. Bitterness, wrath, anger, quarreling, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. If we love him, we will act like him. If we don't, it grieves him. Just a few pages after God created the world and everything in it, he calls it all good, very good. He was pleased. And then, in Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts were evil continually. So the Lord was sorry that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. God grieves when we refuse to love him and each other. Jesus grieved over the holy city. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who have been sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is left to you abandoned. And I say to you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" His own people rejected him, and he grieved. God's anger is sometimes referred to as righteous indignation. In Since You Asked, episode 81, The Wrath of God, I explain that the result of faith and trusting God is that we love him. When we don't, it makes him angry. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." A remarkable event happens twice in the life of Christ. First, in John chapter 2, at the start of his ministry, the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And within the temple grounds he found those who were selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. He made a whip of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. And to those who were selling the doves he said, "Take these things away from here. Stop making my Father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then, during the Passover at the end of his ministry in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus entered the temple again and drove out all of those who were buying and selling on the temple grounds, and he overturned the tables and the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of thieves." So much for gentle Jesus, meek and mild. The temple was meant for worship. It was a place set aside for people to express their love for God. I wonder what Jesus would do if he walked into some of our churches today. Sometimes God will withdraw his presence or protection. And since you asked, episode 34, I cover the four spiritual laws. Law 2 is this: man is sinful and separated from God. Episode 6 explains that sin is failure to love. Isaiah chapter 59 says, "Your sin has caused the separation between you and God. Because of sin, he has turned his face away from you and will not listen anymore." Micah 3 says, "Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. Instead, he will hide his face from them at a time because they have practiced evil deeds." Ezekiel 5, "Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols and with your abominations, I will definitely also withdraw." In Psalm 51, David's classic prayer of repentance, the king pleads with God, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." When we do not love God and keep his commands, he withdraws from us, and he will remove his hand of protection. When we do not return love to God, he responds with disappointment, grief, anger, and withdrawal. We have all sinned. We are all guilty of unbelief. We have all failed to love God in return. How tragic it would be if the story ended there. So let's return to the four spiritual laws. Law 1, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Law 2, man is sinful and separated from God. Thus, he cannot know and experience God's plan for his life. Law 3, Jesus Christ is God's provision for man's sin. Through him, man can know God's love and plan for his life. Law 4, we must receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord by personal invitation. The Gospel of John opens like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. This was the true light that, coming into the world, enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. But as many as accepted him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The good news is that even though each of us has caused unrequited love in God's heart, he still loves us. He loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. If you have never asked Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior, do it now. Ask him to forgive you for rejecting him. Tell him that you want to know him and love him. He will hear you. If you are a Christian, but maybe you've drifted away from a love relationship with him, maybe sin has entangled you, maybe your faith has become a routine of works and tradition, like the prodigal son who came to his senses, turn back to him. The Father is waiting, watching, ready to welcome you home. The scripture says we love him because he first loved us. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.